our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be and abide with you always. Amen. Our text for this morning is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it must be obvious to you now that the theme for this Friday morning service is ministry. And these words that we find from the evangelist Luke have come to mean something very important to me as one preparing for the ministry. Those of you who are in mission class on Tuesday evening also know that they have a very important thing in the mission of the church. And I view these words of Christ as a mandate for all generations of all times to be witnesses of the fact that that man was born on this earth who was the Son of God, and that that man, being God's Son, died on the cross, being God, took away the sins of the world. And you and I and our generation are following a long line of people who have done this very thing. We are sons of the prophets. We are sons of the apostles who first started out back in those early days. And we have that same kind of command to us. That is the purpose for us being here. That's why we do all the things that we do, with a command and a mandate. As people preparing for the ministry, we do an awful lot of theology. We are in classes for so long, and some of you have been laboring in this what we call the system for 12 years. And it becomes a very long process. And with all kinds of theology, we have practical, systematic approach, exegetical, and historical. And we all know that, and we have our noses in those books all the time, you see, hopefully. We are in the library. We do all those things that we do to get through this place to prepare for a goal. And I think that many times in our theological education, there is a danger of losing sight of what that goal is. We are not some super rich kids to come to school here so we can have all these gorgeous facts and all that great theology in our minds. So it sits there and so it's there and so we can answer all the questions and give all the right answers. We are here doing theology because someday we are going to be pastoral theologians. We are witnesses of the fact that Christ came to save sinners, as the epistle says. Christ didn't come so we could theologize about his coming, so we could make some petty differentiation between a certain kind of theology and say, see, I got it right. Christ came so we could go out into the world and be witnesses of the fact that he came to save people. That's why Christ came. That's why I'm in the seminary, and I hope that's why you are in the seminary. Because there is an immediate response that one feels when one has been changed over to being a Christian. And that impulse, that response, is to share that good news, to share the forgiveness of sin. If we are calling an academic game, what I like to call an academic game, and that is really learning academics for the sake of academics, then I think we are really wasting the time of this church. We are wasting the money of all those good people in the synod who send their money to the synod and this institution so they can have people who will come out and support and be pastoral theologians to them. And we are really wasting our own money, and we are wasting the time of God and of the Church of God. We are here so we can go out and be witnesses and be pastoral theologians.
That is the calling, you see. That's the call to discipleship for us. To sit with that poor little old lady in that dirty nursing home that smells so terribly raunchy, but to give that woman something that she can live with. To give that woman the knowledge that God died on the cross and her sins are forgiven. To give that woman hope of everlasting life with her Savior in heaven. It means going into a family that's distraught and torn and everybody's fighting one another. And on the basis of that gospel message, bring harmony and unity in that family. It means doing all of the things that pastors do for their people. It means preaching God's word in your pulpit when you are in a pulpit. It means fostering those people and fostering them with the word of God to build them up. To build them up into adult mature Christians. That's the work of the apostles. That's the work of the sons of the prophets. And that is our work. Now, as we are preparing for it, and in the future, as we will work it. We are witnesses of the fact that Christ died on the cross. And in this passage also today, there is an important point that should be brought out. And that is the element of the Holy Spirit. Many times, I know in my own self-reflection, I look back and see how, and think how special a measure of the Holy Spirit that those apostles had. And indeed, they did. But you know, I think in thinking that way, I kind of cut myself off, or at least I cut those of us off now in the 20th century, and say that we don't really get all those good benefits that those first apostles got. And that really isn't true. Because that same Spirit of God, that third person of the Trinity, is just as much active in our lives as he was in the lives of the apostles and prophets. That same Holy Spirit is working as hard on you and me so we can go out and proclaim that message of salvation to people. But the problem is, I think, that we lack the Holy Spirit out a lot more. Don't fight the Holy Spirit. Don't become a Christian who is a Christian who has all the facts in your head, but none of those facts ever do any good for anybody. And never do any good even for yourself. Be a pastoral theologian. Somebody who knows what God's word says and then transmits that knowledge to the lives of people. Don't block out that Holy Spirit. But let him use you. As we heard Tuesday, we are door men. And we are to be used as door men and so many other things. Don't block out that Holy Spirit. Because he's molding you, he's preparing you, and he's working through those who are preparing us now in this place. That is the message of today. We are ministers, we are teacher pastoral theologians, and we are that right now, really, beginning that. Remember that in your years here at Concordia Seminary, and remember that throughout your ministry, because in that there is blessing. And in that, we are doing the work of the Lord. Amen.